Let us open the Word of God and read from the Gospel according to Luke chapter 2. We read the verses 25 through 32. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God, and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Shall we pray? Most holy and majestic Lord God, who art high exalted above all that happens here in this world, and who art infallibly leading everything, all the events, to that glorious moment when thou shalt return to judge the living and the dead, when every human being will be placed before thee, and when thou shalt pronounce judgment on all those who lived without thee. And so, Lord, it is to thee that we come, the God who in sovereignty rules everything. Also the life of Brother Egbert Worston. Thou hast led his life from his youth on unto the last moments. And we wish to thank thee, Lord, for all that thou hast given us in this father, in this grandfather, in this great-grandfather, in this elder, in this friend, in this member of the Hamilton congregation. Everything thou hast given us in this brother, in this uncle. And Lord, we humbly thank thee that thy grace is sufficient. It was also sufficient for our brother Worston. Thy grace is sufficient also for us. And we need to live by thy grace. We need thee every day, every hour. We need thee as a covering for our sins. We need thee to be renewed after thine image. We need thee to fight the good fight of faith against indwelling sin. And Lord, we pray thee, if thou wilt pour out thy Holy Spirit upon us, also in this funeral service, yes, wilt thou bless the proclamation of thy word, and wilt thou remember each and every one of us in our individual circumstances, how we live and where we live, and what the aim is in our life. Lord, if it be that we are living outside of thee, or if we are only formally honoring thee and having some religion, and we think that we will be all right, Lord, show us that we will not be all right, but that we need thy Holy Spirit to work powerfully and majestically in our hearts, that we learn to see him who is altogether lovely, and that our lives will be united to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we learn to live for thee and for the better day. O Lord, that is what our brother Worston testified about his desire to live for thee, for thy future. He longed for that, and thou hast given him his desire at thy time. We thank thee, Lord, for the loving care that all the family could give, all the children, but especially also Case and Diane. We thank Thee, Lord, for strength Thou hast given them to take care of their father in the last months of his life. O Lord, we acknowledge Thee for Thy grace and goodness, for Thy mercy, that Thou dost lead sinners to a new life with Thee, that Thou dost grant salvation and grace for grace. May that also be given to us. Could it be also in this service? Strengthen Thy servant, comfort the family, remember them in Thy mercy. Also those who are listening along from the Netherlands, wilt Thou watch over them, Brad and Maria, and all the loved ones there. Lord, hear our prayers and be in our midst for Jesus' sake. Amen. Beloved children, Case and Diana, Tracy and Raphael, Marianne and Dylan, Brad and Maria, William and Sarah, grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and also Rick and Joyce, and Lawrence and Sandra, and Nancy Sommer. Beloved congregation, friends of our beloved brother Egbert Wursten, we are gathered here now in his funeral service. We remember his wife Agnes, who passed away in 2009, and we remember his second wife Marilyn, who passed away in 2021. In these moments, we also remember his great-grandson Jackson, who passed away in 2017. It is a solemn occasion. It is also a blessed occasion. And that is because we have the Word of God here with us. And that's why it's a blessed occasion. Because God's Word sheds light upon our path. And God's Word must shine us, shine upon us, and lead us, and display to us what really life is about and what is most important. For here we are at the edge of our understanding. We will have to go to the cemetery, and basically we do not understand these things about death and what happens, what does a person experience when he leaves this life. But God's Word tells us that it is appointed unto man once to die and then judgment. So to die means to meet God. And it is necessary that we prepare ourselves for that. And that is why it's good to be in the house of mourning, to remember these most important matters of life. Who is God for you and for me? For we need to be hid in Christ in order to leave this life and to enter into His presence. Egbert Wursten came to Canada as an immigrant during the 50s of the 20th century. He initially worked as a farmhand some distance up north, but he did not feel at home in the local church where he could attend. And soon he understood that in southern Ontario there was a church with scriptural experiential preaching. And so on days off, he would come here to visit the Hamilton Free Reformed Church in the days when Reverend Lamann officiated here. And Egbert Wursten was so glad that there was this kind of preaching available here in Canada that he relocated to this area. For he wanted to be there where God's Word was proclaimed, faithfully. He was a member here for more than 60 years. And during the days of Reverend Kuning, he was called to serve the congregation as an elder. And he actually served close to 40 years in the consistory, with here and there a year that he would not be in consistory. We remember him for his encouraging words. Many here remember that. And we're grateful for God's grace in his life, because it was all God's grace. He knew that. He could do nothing without the Lord. He himself testified often of a struggle against indwelling sin, and he longed to be delivered of that. Ever since the passing away of his beloved Marilyn, he weakened. He was giving up. For years he spoke about the longing to be with the Lord, and now his weakness became such that he had to be admitted to St. Joseph's Hospital. And there he stayed for several weeks. And after that, his children, Case and Diana, offered to care of him, to take care of him in their own home on Butter Road. And that's where he stayed during the last months, lovingly cared for, especially by Diana, who was his personal nurse, actually. And the other children and grandchildren also stood around and helped where they could. The last month he was confined to his bed, and he patiently waited for the Lord day after day, week after week, to take him. And repeatedly he spoke about the trust that God would never forsake him, although it was unclear how long this would all take. Doctors said it could have taken for years even, his situation. But Brother Worston knew that the Lord would be faithful to him and would continue to lead him, would never forsake him. And so he looked forward to the rest that remains for the people of God. And last week when I visited him for the last time, he could hardly speak. But what he did say to me was, "Speak well of the Lord." It was his desire that God would be exalted and receive all honor. And that's indeed what must happen, because Brother Worston was a sinner who hoped upon the loving kindness of the Lord, who had been led by the Lord, who had been changed by the Lord and renewed by the Lord, who had been given a lively hope, but it was all God's grace from beginning to the end. Is that not the case also in your life, child of God? It was God who begun, and it was God who continued, the Lord who began and who finished and will finish his work. So all praise and honor and adoration must be to the Lord. How we need to be led by God every step of the way. Also, Agbert could not serve as an elder without God's help. He could not be a husband or a father without the help of the Lord. And in the last months of his life, he reflected upon the Lord's goodness, and he longed to be with the Lord, but he needed God's grace every day to be patient and to be carried through these difficult, drawn-out circumstances. We just read an account of a man of God that we find recorded in Luke 2, Simeon. Simeon was a man. He was a child of Adam. He was weak in himself. Simeon was a man who could do nothing without the Lord in his life. He was completely dependent upon the Lord. And every good thing or every good word he spoke that came from the Lord, it was God's gift. And now this man received a special revelation that he would see Israel's Messiah before he would pass away. And then the moment came. He was led to be in the temple. And precisely at that moment, Joseph and Mary came into the temple with the young-born infant, the Lord Jesus, because they had to redeem their firstborn son so as to fulfill the requirements of the law of Moses. And it was by God's guidance that Simeon was there, and he saw that peasant couple, and he knew this is Israel's Messiah. So he went up to Joseph and Mary. He asked them if he could hold their child in his arms. And so he held the infant Lord Jesus Christ in his arms. And he blessed God. He praised the Lord. And filled with the Holy Spirit, he said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. What a beautiful confession the Lord gives here through the lips of Simeon. Simeon realized that the Lord God ruled everything. He knew how God would control all events, and that the Lord had been in control of Simeon's life, and that the Lord had led everything to this moment. It was so overwhelming for him that he could hold Messiah in his own arms. He knew that God had been good to him, had been faithful to him. His whole life was subject to the Lord. He had to be led by the Lord and fed by the Lord and guided by the Lord. He was totally dependent, and that is the secret of a child of God. A child of God is one who is poor in himself, and yet he is rich in the Lord. He is totally dependent upon God's grace and goodness. That's how Simeon was. And that's how it should be in our lives. We should be subject to God. Because the Lord God made us. Who sustains your life? Who sustained you this very morning? And who wrought everlasting salvation in His Son? And opened a way that we could be redeemed, every one of us. It's God. And that's why we need to be subject to God. And that the Lord would have everything to say about us in our lives, that we deliberately want that, that we ask for the Lord and for His strength to guide and lead us. What will happen to us if the Lord does not occupy the highest place in our life? Then it will not be all right with you. You may think, I'm fine, I will manage, but you will not. Because the Lord is a jealous God. He wants the highest place in your life. And that's how it was with Simeon. Have you learned to live for God? Has the Lord become your greatest delight? Have you learned to love God above all? Have you learned to bow humbly before the Lord Jesus Christ, to be washed and cleansed in His blood, to be renewed by His Spirit, and that you desire that God would be glorified in your life? If that is the case, you have a blessed life. And then you have not lived in vain. That's essential. It's not about some feeling. It's not about that we first have to fulfill certain conditions in order to have the Lord work in our hearts. No. It's about giving up. It's about letting go and saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. I don't know how to live. I don't know what I should do. I need Thee to guide me every step of the way. I need Thee to renew my heart. That's a lesson we need to learn. And then the Lord receives the highest place. He will not accept an inferior spot. Maybe you have Him now at an inferior spot. Then rest assured you are under the anger of God. You may not feel that, but that's what Scripture says. That the Lord is angry with the wicked every day. But you're not wicked. You say, I go to church and I pray so now and then and I listen to some Bible reading at supper time. You do not acknowledge God in your life as the first and the foremost one. And therefore repent. For if you live on like this with a formal religion, you will surely perish. Simeon recognized God as Lord, his Lord. And that's how it must be with us. Now, Simeon was very privileged. He had received a special revelation. He received a revelation that he knew that he would see Israel's Messiah before he would die. Isn't that wonderful to have such a revelation? Well, I assure you, you have more revelations than Simeon. You have the entire inspired Word of God. And that is full of glorious revelations. We have the whole Word of God, not just one revelation, but the whole revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know how He cried out on the cross, it is finished. And you know how He arose from the dead. And you know He's not here, He's in heaven, you know that. And you know He's coming back to judge the living and the dead. And you know you must receive a new heart, a new life in your existence. Simeon had one revelation. And he responded to that by faith. We have so many revelations. What place does God's Word occupy in our lives? Simeon knew the Lord would fulfill His Word in his life, and so he waited for the Lord to do that. And then the Lord let Simeon depart in peace. And you know, that's God's prerogative, to let a person depart from this life. We don't determine that. Agbert Wursten did not determine that. If he could have, he would have. But he could not. He waited for the Lord because he longed to depart and to be with the Lord. And so Simeon had also waited for the Lord. And those who wait upon the Lord will not be put to shame. Those who wait upon the Lord will not wait in vain. Simeon left this life in peace. What a blessing. How glorious to leave this life and to know it's right between God and my soul. There is peace. What a testimony. Because Simeon was a man. He was a son of Adam. He sinned against all of God's commandments. And he left this life in peace. You and I, we've also sinned against all of God's commandments. But we know there is peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. The peace the Lord works in his one's heart through the Holy Spirit and through his word. And the Lord Jesus worked that peace and earned that peace, and therefore he had to be in the greatest unrest, in the greatest agony, so that you and I would never be in that agony that the Lord Jesus underwent, and that he could enter your life and heart and pour out peace now already in this life. That your heart is overflowing with his peace and with his love. Not that that always stays at the height in the life of a child of God. That is not so. But these moments in which the Lord is so close, and when you sense his nearness, his peace. And even if the experience of peace is not there, you know it is right between God and my soul. Because he is my Redeemer, my Goel, my kinsman Redeemer. The peace the Lord gives starts already in this life. It belongs to the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love and joy and peace. Do you have peace with God? We read here about a man who had peace with God. That peace is available. That peace is necessary. It's to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Simeon held the Lord Jesus in his arms. He knew that this child would work peace for him. He may not have known about all the details of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus, but he knew this child will work peace. And then, how do we find peace with God? We find the answer to that question in our text. How does a person find peace with God? You find the answer in the little word servant. There you have it. Servant. A servant, that is someone who has learned to bow for the Lord Jesus Christ. That someone who indeed has learned to live for Christ. That the Holy Spirit shows that person that he has departed from Christ, departed from God, and he needs to be reconciled to God. And then the Holy Spirit shows who this blessed Savior is and leads a person to indeed give the highest place to the Lord Jesus Christ in his life. And then you become a servant of God. And how do you become a servant of God? You become a servant of God because the Lord Jesus Christ first serves you. It's not about what you do for him. It's about what he does for you. Because the Lord Jesus has come not to be ministered unto, but to minister. He must minister in your life. He must graciously open your heart. And he must pour out his Spirit in your existence. And he must convict you of sin. And he must display to you his beauties and his glories. And then you melt in adoration and you wish to belong to this blessed Lord and Savior with your whole life. That happened to Simeon because he says he was God's servant. He had become a servant of God. And now God was going to allow this his servant to depart in peace. He will be translated into glory. And that happens to all God's servants. A servant is devoted to the Lord. A servant realizes that he falls short in many things and grieves about that, and daily needs the Lord to renew his ministering grace to us. But those servants will be taken into heaven. They will be in the immediate presence of Christ. They will see him as he is and be made like unto him. Are you a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? Has he ministered unto you? Has he intervened in your life? Well, all his servants will depart in peace. There will not be one left behind. And that's only to be understood because of the great love that the Lord Jesus has for his own. That he loves his people more than they love him. He longs for the presence of his people with him more than they long to be in his presence. They may go through afflictions in life. They may go through disappointments and struggles. They may be for months on a sick bed, having to be cared for. They may have to go through painful surgeries in their life, that happens, or suffer sheer agony because of back pain. They may have to go through the loss of a wife, or maybe even another wife. But God is faithful. Through all these tribulations and afflictions, the Lord leads them into everlasting glory. And in one moment in the presence of the King, and all the hardships and all the sorrows are forgotten. And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. The tears of pain and sorrow, but also the tears of grief because of indwelling sin. The Lord will wipe them all away. And even if some of those servants look at their own lives and they say, we were nothing but unprofitable servants, still God is faithful to them. He will never forsake his people. And even if they wonder, where is the fruit in my life, they may know the fruit. Their fruit is found in Christ. And therefore, he is their hope, their comfort, their refuge. That was the case for Simeon. He was delivered from the fear of death. And that's the reality of Christian life. A child of God through faith may be delivered from the fear of death because the Lord Jesus arose from the dead. He conquered death. He earned a full consolation. And here we see an old man who was not afraid of death. And in this coffin is a man who is also not afraid of death. And the grave has lost its terrors. The world has lost its charms. And such a one is now allowed to go home. How can that be, that a person is delivered from the fear of death? That can only be when they lay hold on an unseen Savior. Faith rests on the promises of an unseen God. And that faith can look death in the face and say, I depart in peace. Maybe there's someone here this morning who is lonely, who is miserable, and whose sins weigh upon them. Well, you may know the Lord in this funeral service is calling you. and telling you he has no pleasure in your death or in your misery, but he is offering salvation. He gave that salvation to Simeon. He was waiting for the consolation, the comforting abidance of God for Israel. And that's how God's children live. They wait for something else. It's not here yet. It's not how it should be. There's anticipation. A Christian is someone who has hope, real hope. And in the meantime, they humble themselves because they are men, frail, weak, and sin lies at the door. But they look to their beloved Savior, the Lord Jesus. And the Lord makes them to be just and devout. He reckons them to be righteous in His sight. And He slowly but steadily renews their life so that they become aware of indwelling sin, and that they strive against indwelling sin, and that they are clothed with the fruits of righteousness. And then the Lord lets His servant depart in peace according to His word. And with gratefulness to the Lord, we think back of Brother Worston. God sustained him. And God is also able to sustain you in your circumstances, giving you converting grace, enlightening grace, sustaining grace. It's offered to you. And you may simply come to Him, for if you seek the Lord with all your heart, the Lord will be found of you. You will not pray in vain. There's an abundance of mercy and life available for you outside of you in this blessed Savior. Do not bypass this Savior. And do not rest until you rest in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now I will say a few words in Dutch. Want ook vanuit Nederland wordt ook meegekeken op dit moment. En we denken aan u. Ja, Brad en Marije. Het zal voor jullie ook niet meevallen om zo ver weg te zijn van je geliefde vader. De laatste jaren hebben we elkaar niet meer gezien. Jullie niet en hij niet, vanwege alle omstandigheden. We denken ook aan jullie zoon Taylor. En ook aan u, Willem, jongste broer van Egbert. En uw vrouw Gerry. En er zijn ook neven en nichten die meeluisteren en meekijken op dit moment. Fijn dat u dat doet. Dat dat toch mogelijk is in deze tijd. Maar u hebt wel gemerkt waar we over gesproken hebben. Dat Simeon het sprak, nu laat gij, Heere, uw dienstknecht gaan in vrede naar uw woord. Ja, dat mocht hij zeggen. Want hij hield het kind Jezus in zijn armen. En hij was Gods knecht geworden. Maar nu laat gij, Heere, uw knecht. En dat is het, dat wij een knecht van God worden. Daar is heel het leven op gericht in feite. Dat is het doel van ons bestaan, om knecht van God te zijn. En hoe worden we dat? Doordat de Heere Jezus u komt bedienen. Want het is niet in het geestelijke leven dat wij de Heere gaan bedienen, dat wij Hem gaan dienen en allemaal dingen doen voor Hem. Nee, Hij doet wat voor ons. Want de Zoon des Mensen is niet gekomen om gediend te worden, maar om te dienen en om zijn leven te geven als een rantsoen voor velen. En dat hebben we nou nodig. Dat Gods geest indringt in ons leven. En dat wij zijn knechten worden. Dat de onwilligheid weggenomen wordt. Dat hij het doel wordt van ons leven. Ook te midden van moeite en wat er ook mag zijn in het leven. De Heere kan u er doorheen leiden, doorheen helpen. Daar wist Egbert ook van te spreken. En dan zou het uiteindelijk daarop uitlopen. Dat u dit leven mag verlaten met vrede. Een Adams kind. Gezondigd tegen alle geboden van God. En hij mag dit leven verlaten in vrede. Dat is het wonder van het evangelie, het wonder van het verzoenend werk van Christus. En daar wensen wij u daar van harte toe. Shall we pray? O precious Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, O God the Father, and thou, O Holy Spirit, to thee be all the honor given. For thou dost change sons of Adam into saints. Thou dost that glorious work that humanly speaking was totally impossible. When the way back to thee was blocked off, thou hast opened a way in thy Son. Yes, it did cost thy Son the greatest and the highest price. But, O Father, thy Son was obedient to thy command. He became the servant, the suffering servant of the Lord. Lord, send forth thy Holy Spirit, that we may also be servants of thee, that we may be led in a life of devotion to thee. Wilt thou give that the most important part of our life will be the Lord Jesus Christ and being changed after his image? For thou, Lord Jesus, art the mediator and the surety, and thou dost reconcile sinners to God the Father, and thou hast earned the life-giving Spirit. And so thou, O Holy Spirit, dost work mightily. Come down in the congregation here in Hamilton. Come down in our hearts. We thank thee as a congregation, Lord, for what thou hast given us in Elder Worston. The house visitations, the encouragements, the wisdom thou hast given him, the tact, the meekness, we thank thee, Lord, it was all thy work. Thy work, yes, because thy work is in spite of us. We are but unprofitable servants. But thou dost create the good works, and thou dost let us walk in them, giving us strength to do so. And then thou dost even reward the good works. But it's all thy work from beginning to the end. For thou, Lord Jesus, art the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And therefore we need thee. As we leave this funeral service and we go our ways, and life takes over again, Lord, wilt thou keep us from wandering and keep us from forgetting these impressions, but may it be graved upon our hearts that thou must have the highest place in our life. Thou art worthy. Outside of thee there's only misery, but with thee there is blessing. O Lord, draw us. Be with us now as we go to the cemetery. Make all things well. Wilt thou graciously look upon us For Jesus' sake, amen. Shall we now sing Psalter 32, the stanzas 4?